This is Chuck.
And this is Lance. Welcome to the Fearless Christian Fellowship podcast.
Fearless Christian Fellowship is a vibrant worship experience for those who are done playing it safe. We meet every Sunday night at the Millville Church of the Nazarene in Millville, New Jersey.
Our mission is to grow together as a body of believers, letting the Spirit guide us towards absolute courage in His service.
Worship His holy name. Sing like never. Was that a little slow?
That was a little slow.
Okay.
But I didn't catch it till like we had already started, so I was like, oh, oh well.
I didn't
But we stuck with it. That's what's important.
We made it work.
Well, I'll open us up in a word of prayer, and then we'll continue. Dear Lord, thank you for bringing us here tonight to worship you and study your word, Lord, and just bless everything that goes on here tonight. Bless the fellowship that happens. Bless the study. Bless the music. Just let everything that we do tonight benefit you in your name, Lord. And just be with us and open our ears and our hearts to hear what you have to say to us tonight, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Love.
It never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love.
We should do that in a medley with Forever.
Oh, there you go. Oh man.
The longest song.
Be the longest song.
After about a half hour, you're tired.
Does it have to be Forever?
I have no idea what's next.
I can sing it, Your Love Forever.
Announcements.
There you go.
Announcements, yes. That's what.
We could. It doesn't say I will, it says I could.
I could. All right. Yeah, announcements. Just the usual stuff. Nothing else.
Still looking for ideas of things.
Yeah. And songs.
And songs.
And this is the last week of this study, which means we will be continuing on to other studies eventually. Because next week, we're going to have a worship night that we haven't done in a while.
Right.
And then the week after that.
Well, 2 weeks after that.
The 2 weeks after that 1 week. That's not confusing.
That's right.
Yeah, so I know.
I'm actually
going to
be here for a worship night.
So somebody's going to be gone on like some honeymoon or something.
That would be me.
What a jerk.
No, and I'll be here next week.
You're not going to be here
for the worship night. No, I'll be here for the worship night next week. But then for the two Sundays following next week, I will not be here.
Postpone your honeymoon.
What?
Postpone your honeymoon.
Come back on Sundays.
Yeah.
I can't do that. I already booked it.
I get in trouble. Chuck can't do.
So
Chuck
anyway, we're going to have a very special, rarely seen here guest speaker. Named Paul. Yeah, it's named Reverend Smash. What's that?
May 11th?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
May 11th, which is Saturday, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're doing the bike to bay, but we're not actually going to ride bikes because we're lazy. So
we high fives if you're reading.
We're gonna hydrate all the people who are riding bikes.
Yes, we're just gonna.
Yes.
And the money raised from this goes to sending kids to camp for free.
At Camp Edge.
Yes, at Camp Edge.
So the money raised from Bike to Bay goes to sending kids who can't afford it to Camp Edge for free. We're gonna be manning a booth along the route, giving out water and encouragement.
Oh no.
Yeah, you're not last.
Come on, you've never received encouragement from us?
Yeah, the water's free, and we'll accept donations, and we'll say nice things. Otherwise, you just get, like, mediocre things. Yeah, you're all right.
Your dad doesn't even know what to say. I was like, you've never received encouragement from us? He's like, well, I can't think of any.
Why don't you sing to us on the ground?
Oh, there you go.
That'd be fun. I'll have to wear my sunscreen because it'll be hot.
Keep on peddling on. Keep.
I love to ride my bicycle.
Okay. Any other announcements?
I say white. Oh, sorry.
Any other announcements? No?
Not this Monday, but the following Monday will be a chess night at my house, which is at Bleep.
Yes, that would be the what day? That would be the 22nd, correct?
Correct, 22nd.
At Ernie's house. I had to look up that date real quick, just to make sure. Yep. See Ernie for the address if you are interested in doing that.
Yes, the Monday before the Thornley wedding.
The Thornleys are getting married.
Again. All right. Paul's getting antsy.
Paul's going, let's do all for right. You.
Let's sing.
I figured if I just started, maybe.
That's what I did at the beginning. I think I'm just going to start playing this song.
I think it was a little fast, but...
this life I have in mind. go. I'm letting go. It's all for you. It's all for you. I'm letting go. I'm letting go.
Amen.
I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. fear the storm. My help is on the way. My help is on the way.
Finish up our study on Lamentations here, and you know, we've been talking about all the bad things that happened to Jerusalem, right? Jeremiah is giving us this view of what's happened, you know, and the, you know, the streets stripped of stone and the buildings torn apart and the holy places desecrated because of the sin of the people. Is they turned away from their covenant with God. And, you know, we looked at the part where Jeremiah cries out hoping that someone will come and save them, but realizing that they've turned away from God, and you know, him thinking that that's not going to happen right away. And then in the last chapter, we talked about how things were so bad, you know, that as Jeremiah says, you know, even jackals feed their kids. But the daughters of Zion are like ostriches who leave their children out in the desert to die. And he talks about how the children are so thirsty that their tongues stick to the roof of their mouths and they have no water, and how good women, he says, good women cook and eat their children. This is how bad it is. This is what Jerusalem has brought upon itself because of its sin. And then at the end of the last verse, he says, you know, Jerusalem has suffered all this. Or the end of the last chapter, sorry. Jerusalem has suffered all this, but its punishment is over. And now you, people of Edom, who sit back and laugh at the suffering of the Israelites, enjoy yourselves now, because you too are scoffing at God, and your punishment is coming. And so he reminded us that the cost of disobedience, no matter who you are, is death and suffering. And so in this chapter, this is going to finish up our study. You know, we're going to read through this together, but I don't want to give away the ending, so I'm not going to say too much, but you'll see when we get there. So anyway, this continues Jeremiah's cry for God and what's happened to his people. So let's jump into it. Lamentations chapter 5. Remember, O Lord, what has befallen us. Look and see our reproach. Our inheritance has been turned over to strangers, our houses to aliens. We have become orphans without a father. Our mothers are like widows. And so he says, you know, God, this is what's happened to us. This is what our punishment has been. And remember that we've suffered this. You know, we've been reproached. We've been corrected. We've been rebuked. And God has torn down the sin. And he says, what once was ours, our inheritance, what we should have gotten, this great and wonderful city and all these beautiful places, has been given over to somebody else. Right? The Edomites have just walked in and taken it all. He says, and the places we used to live are now inhabited by strangers, by people who are not children of the covenant, by people from some other land. And he says, it's like we don't have parents. We have no one protecting us. And our mothers are like widows. We have no father. We have no one leading us, no one showing us what's good. You know, this has been our punishment. Verse 4, he says, we have to pay for our drinking water, and our wood comes to us at a price. And I think sometimes today we look at that and go, yeah, so what? I pay for my drinking water all the time. Right? But what he's saying in this day is these things that were free, that God had provided to them in the generosity of his nature, now they have to beg for water and for wood to build with and to stay alive. Verse 5, our pursuers are at our necks. We are worn out. There is no rest for us. We have submitted to Egypt and Assyria to get enough bread. And so Jeremiah is drawing this picture for us of suffering. And in this chapter, he's also drawing a picture for us of how far the people have fallen in their relations with the other lands. Right? Once Jerusalem was the shining city on the hill. And in the last chapter, he talked about how they wander and no one will give them refuge. And now in this chapter, he's telling us we have to pay for what we should have just had. And we who have in the past conquered armies who were so much larger than us through the power of God, now we have to go to these foreign lands that are not filled with Jewish people, and we have to submit to them. And we have to become their slaves and do what they want just so we can eat and stay alive.
right? This is the punishment of Jerusalem. He says, verse 7, our fathers sinned and are no more. It is we who have borne their iniquities. So he says, you know, for generations, the people of Jerusalem have been wandering away from God, have been moving away from the covenant that God set with his people. And so he says, they've sinned, our fathers sinned, these generations past sinned, and they're dead. And now their iniquities, their sin, the bad things they have done, and the punishment therein is now being carried by the children of Jerusalem. And I want to make it clear here that this is not an instance of Jeremiah saying that they're being punished for the sin of their fathers, but that they are innocent. He's saying that they have carried on the sin of their fathers. And for that, they have received the punishment of generations. Just as we all sit in sin because we've inherited it from Adam and Eve. You know, and we're not being punished for their sin, but because of their sin, we sin. And that's what's happening to the people of Jerusalem. Because of the sins of their forefathers, they are sinning. Their society has become corrupt. And now they're bearing the sins of their fathers, and they're bearing the punishment of all this sin that has built up. Verse 8, he says, slaves rule over us. There is no one to deliver us from their hand. So they've fallen so far that, you know, not only do they have to pay for water and wood, not only do they have to submit to the Egyptians and the Assyrians to get bread, but even the slaves of those nations are better than the Israelites. You know, the slaves are treated better. You know, maybe because the slaves provide some sort of valuable service. You know, they cook and they clean and whatever. And the Israelites are just, to all the people around them, are just trash. You know, completely unworthy of even the respect that you would give someone that you own who works in your household. And so even the slaves rule over them. Remember, these were once the children of God. You know, the people who lived in covenant with him and whose right hand protected them. And now slaves are better than they are. And there's no one to bring them up out of this oppression. And we're going to get into that a little more as we go further down this, but I want you to keep that in mind. You know, Jeremiah has said this again and again. You know, there's that one chapter where he says, I believe that God is good, you know, and that deliverance will come. But he said over and over that the people have no reason to hope. And we talked about that old covenant idea, you know, that the temple was destroyed, there was no altar to make sacrifices, and no Holy of Holies for the Holy Spirit to dwell, and the people had no connection left with God because they had broken their covenant. And Jeremiah is reminding us of that here. There is no one to deliver them. Verse 9, we get our bread at the risk of our lives because of the sword in the wilderness. Our skin has become as hot as an oven because of the burning heat of famine. And so he says, you know, when we go out to try to find something to eat, and, you know, it says bread, and you're kind of thinking, I like bread. Right? Somebody likes bread. Bread's delicious, right? But unless you have, like, celiac or whatever it is. But, sorry, Paul. But, what? But he's saying bread like food, sustenance, right? And he says they have to go out and find it. And they risk their lives for this bread because while they're out there in the wild, someone could just come along and kill them, right? They're not protected. They're not these great people. They're just some homeless person in the wilderness looking for food. And I can guarantee you, if you're out in the wilderness looking for food, you're not looking for bread, okay? You're looking for, like, bugs and berries. And hopefully not the berries that kill you, but the other kind, right? And plant roots and dirt. I don't know. Anything you can get your hands on that you think might sustain you. It's not like, well, let's put our lives at risk to get something delicious.
It's we have to put our lives at risk to survive. This is where the people have fallen to. He says their skin is burning because of famine. You know, they're so hungry that, you know, their skin is stretched tight and over their bones. And he described that in the last chapter, you know, that the people's skin is like leather. It looks like dried wood on their bones. That's how hungry they are. And he says, you know, it's hot because they haven't eaten, so they're diseased. You know, and you know, if you go and you find someone now who's starving to death, and I don't mean in the figurative sense, like I haven't eaten in 2 hours. I mean in the sense like, you know, I haven't eaten in a month. You'll find that it's not just starvation that's killing them, but their body has broken down so far that they have no immune system, essentially. And so, you know, you get infections and diseases and, you know, you end up dying from all these, like, strange things that we think, oh, why didn't you just go get some pills? And so the people of Jerusalem are dying from these things that simple food could have staved off. And this is where they've fallen to. Verse 11, they ravished the women in Zion, the virgins in the cities of Judah. Princes were hung by their hands. Elders were not respected. Young men worked at the grinding mill, and youths stumbled under loads of wood. Elders are gone from the gate, young men from their music. And so he says, we once had all these people that did all these things, right? They had a certain place in society. Because of the covenant and because of the way that their society was set up and their civics. And he says, when the enemy came in, you know, they took these women from Zion and the virgins, the girls from Judah, and they did terrible things to them. You know, he says they ravished them, they abused them, they used them. And, you know, we would call it white slavery. You know, just take them and use them for whatever they wanted from them, from women and girls, young girls. Verse 12, he says, princes, these people who once ruled, who had all this power and gold, who were respected, are hung up to die. Right? To be seen as punishment. He says, elders were not respected. You know, the people who had passed down the wisdom of generations, who had lived through generations of the covenant and who people went to for advice and who adjudicated disputes, were now just thrown out in the streets, spit on, stomped on. Didn't matter that they were elders, that they had earned their place. He says any young men, anybody who could do anything, who had some sort of strength, who could work, were pressed into slavery. Young men worked at the grinding mill, right? They went and, you know, all day long, they pushed around a big heavy wheel to grind out wheat, right? Not like they had to work for 8 hours and they got pay and health benefits. Like they worked for 7 days, for 20 hours each day, you know, until they dropped like flies, pushing around this grinding mill to feed those who were enslaving them. Not even to make flour for themselves, but to make flour for their captors. He says, and young men fell carrying these heavy loads of wood. You know, so much that they couldn't carry it, and they fell, and I'm sure they were crushed and injured and oppressed. And he says, the elders used to sit by the gate, letting their wisdom be like a watchdog, and they're gone. I mean, he told us before, there is even no gate anymore. There are no walls to the city. That place is gone. And he says young men used to sing, right? Songs of the covenant. And we see that when we look back in the Old Testament. You know, we know that the Psalms are songs. And we see instances of people playing their instruments and singing and clashing their cymbals and worshiping God. And they're not doing that anymore because they're stumbling under loads of wood and they're grinding wheat. And the elders are in the street, in the mud. What had once been the basis of this society and all these people who composed it and who all worked together to glorify God in his covenant had now been ripped apart and destroyed and sent off to other lands and pressed into other work that was not glorifying God, that was serving these pagans. And so this is what the children of God on earth, the children of the covenant, have become. Verse 15, the joy of our hearts has ceased. Our dancing has been turned into mourning. The crown has fallen from our head. Woe to us, for we have sinned. And so Jeremiah reminds us what this is all about, why this happened to the people. There is no joy any longer. What used to be dancing and celebrating and worshiping is now every day crying out for another lost thing, another person dead, another person injured, another sister stolen, another child die of thirst or burned up by fever. He says, we used to be crowned like princes, and it's fallen down and broken. And woe to us, all this is happening, all this suffering, all this punishment and oppression, because we have sinned. Because we who are the people of God have turned our back on him and have wandered away from him. And we've been looking at this book in the context of what happens to us now when we're disobedient, when we wander away. And when we're in sin and worshiping that and we're outside of God's will and God's blessing, all that this world has for us is death and suffering. And when we're outside of God's will, we can cry out like the prophet, woe to us, for we have sinned. This has befallen us. Verse 17, we have sinned, and because of this, our heart is faint. Because of these things, our eyes are dim. Because of Mount Zion, which lies desolate, foxes prowl in it. So he says, because we've sinned, and this punishment has befallen us, our hearts don't have the strength of hope to carry on. He says, there's nothing good to see, and our eyes fail us, and we look for hope, and we try to find it, and we don't see it. And our hearts don't feel it. And even great Mount Zion, which was like a beacon to the nations, is broken and destroyed. And all the good things have been stripped from it. And now it's just wilderness, right? Animals just use it to hunt on and kill things in and go to the bathroom on. Just a ground for dogs, which was once this mountain. And so here are the people in the midst of this sin. And here's Jeremiah telling us, verse 19, you, O Lord, rule forever. Your throne is from generation to generation. Why do you forget us forever? Why do you forsake us so long? Restore us to you, O Lord, that we may be restored. Renew our days as of old, unless you have utterly rejected us and are exceedingly angry with us. And so he says, you know, God, you're the same God who has always been, right? You rule from pre whatever we can know to post-eternity. Your throne is from generation to generation. He doesn't change with kings or with princes. So here's God sitting there, and Jeremiah knows he is there. And yet he says, is it going to be forever that we're going to be outside of your will? He says, we've been forsaken for so long. How long will it go on? We are utterly broken and defeated and in the hands of our enemies. Why do you forget us forever? Why do you forsake us so long? And then he begs, restore us to you so that we can be restored. And Jeremiah knows that the only way the people of Israel can be restored, the only way that the nation can be restored, the only way that we in our sin can be restored to life is if God restores us. There is no other way. There is no other hope for Jerusalem, and there is no other hope for us. He says, God, please restore us so that we can be restored. Renew us the way that we used to be. Make us back into the people of God. And then he ends the chapter and the book by saying, unless you've just gotten rid of us completely, unless you never want anything to do with us again, and you're so angry with us that your anger surpasses our covenant and our desire, and you don't want to restore us. And that's how this book ends. Right? And I think that we as people, we're always looking for the happy ending. Right? Like, where's the part at the end of Lamentations where Jeremiah says, but I know that we'll be restored. And Jeremiah, just in this utter desolation, he says, you're a God who's the same from time to time, forever to forever. And please restore us unless we've messed up so bad that that can never happen. And that's where Jeremiah ends it, but that is not where the story ends. For people broken in utter desolation, and we from our time look back in history and know the people of Israel rise again. But I just want to look at a couple of quick Bible passages that are going to verify for us that this God, who's the same from generation to generation, will not forsake his people forever. And so I'm going to look at, it's just a couple of verses, some, an Old Testament passage and a New Testament passage. And I want to do that intentionally because I want us to understand that it's the same God from Old Testament to New Testament. It's the same God of mercy, same God of justice who will not abide sin, but the same God who will not forsake his people. And I want us to see what Jeremiah was so afraid of, so broken about. And so we're going to look in Deuteronomy chapter 31. Starting with verse 7. And so in this chapter, Moses is speaking to Joshua. And he's giving him counsel as Joshua prepares to lead the people into a battle. Right? And they're fighting for their lives, for their survival. And remember, Moses is going to tell Joshua about God, about the same God that Jeremiah is talking about the same God that we worship now. And Moses has something very important to say. Verse 7, Deuteronomy 31:7. Then Moses called to Joshua and said to him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall give it to them as an inheritance. The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. And so the Israelites are going to conquer the promise. And Moses says, you know, I know this is scary, but listen, our God is with you. And when you are in his will and you are going where he's directing you and you're going to the land which God has given you as an inheritance, God goes ahead of you and he's with you the whole time. It's not like he's behind you, following you, and the people in the front might run into something that he doesn't anticipate. God is there, and he's going with you, and he's clearing the way, and he will not fail you, and he will never forsake you. And there is no reason to fear when you are in God's will. And this is the God of the Old Testament, right? And the same God that we worship. Now, the same God that Jeremiah is talking about in Lamentations, and this is before that happens. And the people are faithful to God's will, and God is faithful to the people, and he will not forsake them. Okay, and so then after this, Jeremiah cries out, and maybe we've messed up too much, and maybe God will never forgive us. And so we're going to look to Romans chapter 8. Starting with verse 26. And in this passage, Paul is teaching us about Christ. God, the same God. God who is forever. Jehovah, Yahweh, God. The same God who promised never to leave or forsake his people. The God that Jeremiah fears that they have made so angry that he will never forgive them. And now this, hundreds of years after that, is the promise that Paul brings to us from God. Romans 8:26. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And so, long after what Jeremiah has cried out for, the Savior has come, and the people have been redeemed. Not just the people of the covenant, not just the children of Israel, not just the daughters of Zion, but all of humanity has gotten that restoration from God so that they may be restored. They have not made God so angry that he cannot forgive them. And that's not in God's nature. And so we see that in Deuteronomy, God will not forsake his people. And we see in Lamentations that the people have forsaken God. But we see in the New Testament that God is still with his people. And Paul tells us that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, God, cries out for us. Right? Not that like he begrudgingly forgives us, but the Spirit intercedes on our behalf, and he cries out in groanings too deep for words and expresses intercession for us with the Father in a way that we can't even understand. And he searches our hearts and knows the mind of the Spirit, and he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Not that God doesn't want the Spirit to intercede for us, But God wants the Spirit to be with us and to work for us and to guide us. And so the Spirit does, because we are not forsaken. And we have the assurance of the promise that God causes all things to work together for good for his children. We who are called according to his purpose, who have come to know him and accept the sacrifice for us, and have come to be a part of his family, who have come to love God, that not only are we not forsaken, but that God causes all things to work together for us, and the Spirit intercedes for us, and God, in all his wisdom and all his love, and the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit stand with us. And when we move for them, we move ahead, they'll never leave us or forsake us. And so the cry of Jeremiah is answered in the scriptures, that even when we have turned away and forsaken God, we have never gone so far away that God's love can't redeem us. And so that's the promise that we have as we finish our study in Lamentations. So let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for your word that you've given us. I thank you for the time that we have here to worship together, to look into your word, to study your will and how you speak to us. And God, we've cried with the prophet Jeremiah, been saddened and anguished over the heartbreak and the suffering that the people of Israel have gone through. And yet, God, we've gotten a picture that the reason that they've fallen into the state, the reason that their children starved, that they cooked and ate their own families, is because of sin. Because they turned away from you, and they pushed away the hand that protected them. And God looked down and said, I cannot let this unrighteousness stand. I must cleanse. And God, I pray that when those times come that we feel torn away, if we stumble off into sin and we go outside of your will and outside of your blessing, God, please remind us of Lamentations, of what that holds, of what the cost of disobedience is. And God, remind us that it holds only death. But that God, for us and for anyone in the world and for people that we see who have fallen so far into this pit because they do not know the God of hope and redemption, that the God who is the same from eternity to eternity, that the God who promised his people way back in Moses' time and even before that he would never forsake or leave them, that he would go ahead of them, is the same God that now is the Spirit intercede on our behalf because of his will, who sent his Son to redeem us, and who works all things together for good for those who love him, and that we can all come to love him. And so, God, I thank you, I worship you, and I praise you for your teaching and for your word and for your love and your salvation. In the name of your Son, amen. We're going to do things a little bit differently tonight. We're going to sing a song we had planned first, and then we'll take requests. Here you go.
Thanks. Oh, that was really loud. I'm so obnoxious. Don't say anything.
We hold some truths to be self-evident.
Civic burn.
if I ran away, your love never failed. I know I still make mistakes, but you have the mercies for me every day. Your love never fails.
Very end there, so I was like,
and nobody would have known that until you just said it.
Except those who were listening, because I definitely went.
Anybody got a song request? Anybody got a... That was like a one word.
What was the moment? Was American Bird.
What's that, George? Oh, I thought you said something. Sorry.
Oh.
All right.
What? Paul, are you making jokes that nobody gets?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's coming to take me away. Oh. All
right, dude. You ready for this one?
Great stretch. There you go.
This is one of those songs.
Watch, after this, someone's going to be like, Prince Your Love is Strong. Oh, man. That would be the worst combination ever. Yeah, I did just. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, you're going to be. Oh, nothing.
Prince of Peace is actually bad for me. So.
Your love never
feels
slow, so now you have to.
Yeah. But it was a good speed. It was a good. All right. Where?
Let's not be silent.
Ah!
I should start.
Daddy took the T-bird.
I should start playing bass on that song because it hurts significantly less.
I should start playing bass on that song because it'll hurt significantly less.
Let's both play bass on it.
I will play bass on that song.
Oh,
come on, son.
All right. Any other requests? It's hard, man. All right, without you.
That almost made it into the lineup. I don't know why it didn't.
Probably the other way, unless it's
it just
way.
Didn't.
Yeah, there it is.
Okay, there it is. This one will hurt less.
Yes, agreed. Without you.
No, it's okay.
It's cool, George. We're just big complainers, that's all. Just whiny babies.
I was about to say that we're babies.
Babies, yo.
Come on, son.
You come on, son.
You come on, son.
All right, ready?
I can walk through the storm. I can walk by faith when my sight is gone. Just as long as you are here with me. Everything, what do I have if I don't have the key? Oh, I need to know you're here with me. Here I am, calling out, Father. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? I don't want to go without you.
Slower. And we continued to slow.
But it felt good.
It was
it worked.
Good. Yeah.
Except when it slowed down further. But
any other butter? Any other butter?
any other buttery requests?
go ahead, somebody else say.
Any other
Julie's
requests?
Got one. What?
Arcade.
No, Julie doesn't have one.
Your love is strong.
Anybody got one?
Your love is strong.
Necesito Cielo.
She wants to do Cielo. Okay. We can handle that.
Goes like this, right?
That's not Cielo. Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Nobody requested that.
I requested it. We Chuck played that for kids once. It was awesome. Yeah. Our goal was to make the parents mad. Yeah. But no one got mad.
That was fun.
It was fun. Nah. Because he was playing...
Oh,
he was playing bass. Yeah. He was playing bass.
Every knee will bow.
Every knee will bow.
And every tongue confess.
confess that you are Lord. But I can't sing loud enough, and I can't sing loud enough when I'm singing for you, my God. And I can't sing loud enough, I can't sing loud enough when I'm singing for you, my God. Seated above, enthroned in the Father's love, destined to die, poured out for all mankind, God's only Son, perfect and spotless one. Never sinned, but suffered as if he did. All authority, every victory is yours. All authority, every victory.
Honor and glory, worthy of all of
overcame. All right. Ernie, do you want to close us in prayer?
Heavenly Father, I thank you for this night. I praise you for this place and this group of believers. I thank you for your word, both your word when it is comforting and also when it is given as a warning that we are to be obedient to you. Not forget that you are who you are. You are God. You are the Almighty. You are the creator of the universe. And the only thing that can perfectly heal, perfectly defeat the darkness, and perfectly love us. So God, I just ask that you be with us as we leave this place. Watch over us, protect us, and I ask you bless those that are here and those who cannot be here with us. Lord, in your son's name I pray. Amen.
Eat all the pizza.
Thanks for coming, everyone, you jumpers.
What?
You jumped on my thanks for coming, everyone. Supposed to say that, then you're supposed to say eat all the pizza.
And actually, he was just talking to the people in Michigan about being jumpers. So,
why are they jumpers specifically? Are they like Hayden Christensen in that awful movie?
Oh, please, no.
Man.
If you felt the moving of the Spirit here and want to join us, subscribe to the podcast in iTunes so you get it automatically every week.
Also, check out our website at fearlesschristianfellowship.com. From there, you can email us, find our Facebook, and join in on the fellowship in many ways.
That's fearlesschristianfellowship.com. And of course, you're always welcome to join us in person at the Melville Church of the Nazarene.
God bless you, and always be fearless for Him.